Welcome to the Military Child Education Coalition podcast, the show that highlights a wide range of challenges and triumphs that our military-connected kids experience. My name is Nikki Harrison, and I'll be your host today. We would like to say thank you for the support of the Air Force Officer Spouses Club of Washington, D.C. for this episode.
I am so excited to have joining me today a really special guest. I'm going to have her introduce herself, but again, really excited to have Miss Leah King with me.
Well, good afternoon. It's so good to be with you, Nikki. My name is Leah King, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as the president and CEO of United Way of Tarrant County.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for telling us your role that you have, which I know is so incredible. But I would love for you to talk a little bit about your experience as a military child.
You bet. It's something I talk about a lot because it's something that is unique and not many people I find have that direct experience since I don't live on a military installation anymore. When I was born, my dad was already in the Army and I was born in LA. My parents are both from Pennsylvania, one from Northeast PA and my mom from Philly, but they were stationed in California where I was born. And I think before I was two, we moved to Jersey. And then over the course of about the next 13 years, we moved around the world, mostly in Germany, but a stint in El Paso at Fort Bliss. My dad had the kind of job that sometimes he just didn't come home and we didn't have a phone, we didn't have TV, we didn't live on base. We sometimes would realize he wasn't going to be coming back for a while. And my mom would pick up myself and my sister and we'd move back to the States until he reemerged and said, okay, I'm back. And then we would come back to Germany. And this went on for years and years, which meant I changed schools constantly, sometimes several times a year. But I would describe it as a magical adventure. It's something that I wish more children had the opportunity to experience, honestly, just being in a world that feels like you're in the middle of a book where you don't speak the language, the environment is different, the customs and norms are different. And it really, especially at my age when I first went 4 or 5 years old, had such a profound impact on who I've become as an adult. And so I just wish all children had the opportunity to have an experience like that. Difficult at times, but magical nonetheless.
Wow, what an incredible childhood and living over in Germany. I too lived for a portion of my childhood in Germany. But one of the things that I think is interesting about your story is the fact that every time your dad was gone, your mom having to kind of transition out almost of the military lifestyle and then coming back, and how that could have impacted you as a child, as well as your mom. So that's very unique experience that you had.
It is. And one of the things that I think gets lost on people who don't or haven't served in the military, it really is the entire family serving. It's not just that person who is on active duty. My mom was just amazing in trying to do all that she could to keep us stable and as normal as possible. But it was difficult. As I mentioned, we didn't have a telephone. We didn't have a television. We lived often in rural, remote places in Germany. And I could imagine for her, she was so young. She was in her early 20s with two girls in this foreign country. And I'm sure she got lonely and it would be so much easier for us to be back. We would always go back and move in with her mom. And so we would live with my grandmother and my other aunts and uncles for 6 months, 9 months. It was unpredictable. And then we'd pick up and go back to wherever my dad was. And it was very different to go in and out of military life. One of the things that I remember so distinctly is even whenever we would go to the doctor, we lived near what was called the Navy Yard. It's an actual Navy Yard in Philadelphia. We would go to the Navy Yard. And so whenever we would go there, I know it was like, I'm going to the doctor or to the dentist or something like that, because all my healthcare, of course, was still through the military. But that would be the extent of this exposure back into a base or a post that was its own city. And then we'd finish and we'd go back into this world that was kind of unstructured and free flowing and just different than what we're accustomed to.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about the transition and the mobility of moving kind of in and out of the military world. I would think that that brought some challenges having to do that, and specifically to your education. Could you talk a little bit about those challenges that you kind of were met with and maybe a little bit of how they were addressed?
Education was definitely interesting. Everywhere we went, I was in some type of public school. I went to kindergarten in the States and to a traditional American kindergarten type of program. First grade, I was at the embassy in Bonn, going to school with embassy kids. And then for second grade, I started in an entirely different place in Wiesbaden. But then somewhere in the middle of the year is when one of those instances came and I went to Philadelphia. And I'll never forget going to this school. First of all, the environment was completely different than anything I'd ever experienced. Concrete, like no grass, multiple floors. I'd never seen a school like that before. So that was imposing and a little bit intimidating. But my teacher was an African-American female, and I'd never seen a Black instructor before. And all of my classmates, for the most part, were either African-American. I don't even think we had a lot of Hispanic or white children. So it was a very kind of single race type of environment. Again, not what you're accustomed to in military life. Everyone is together from multiple cities and states across the country. And that's, to me, part of what is the magic of the military, because you have the opportunity to be around people of so many different backgrounds. And so then when I left there and then went back with my dad, what I would find over the course of many years when that happened, again, I didn't know it at the time, and I appreciate the instructor so much, but the Department of Defense instructors were so dedicated to all of us, and they understood that though we may be gone for a few months, we're going to come back at some different level of where they might be as a class. And they worked so hard with me, sometimes individually, or sometimes they would just assign me extra reading or assignments to help get me caught back up if they felt like I had slipped behind. I will say personally, I think that DoD schools are impeccably thought through, executed. The education quality that I got, second to none. I would not trade it for anything. And my experience, even though it's kind of extreme with moving every year schools, I also appreciate that because in the work that I do today, it helps me to understand how different communities, different neighborhoods, different socioeconomic levels afford a child a different level of education. And to me, we have to do better. All of our students, regardless of where they're educated, deserve a baseline, consistent education. And where you come from or where you live should not impact what you learn, because all children have capability and capacity to learn. So I'm grateful, eternally grateful to those teachers that were dedicated enough and that cared about me enough to take that extra time to ensure that I didn't slip behind and fall through the cracks.
What a fantastic story about school support, teachers, staff, administrators. And I also spent time overseas as a military child. And back then, they were called Dodds schools. Yes. I'm old enough to remember before they were called, you know, Dodia. So I went to those schools as well. And I will absolutely agree with you that had an incredible education that was provided to me through those schools. And actually, to this day, there is a second grade teacher that I had that I still am in contact with. So
wow.
It's really amazing to hear the support that they had for you to get you where you needed to be. And then those moments when you had learning gaps, right? What we now call learning
exactly.
gaps. Because of the mobility and the transition of moving kind of in and out of, you know, the military installation, civilian, that sort of thing. It's great that you had that. I also thought about when you were talking about the first time that you had a Black teacher when I was a kid moving around. at some point, my dad was stationed in Mississippi. And I remember that was the first time I'd come from overseas, this, little black girl with a British accent to Mississippi and going to a predominantly black school, right? I remember being in almost like culture shock.
Culture shock. Absolutely.
I had never been to a school where almost everybody looks like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really interesting experience. That was my seventh grade year. And I remember thinking like, this is so different than ordinarily me being one of the very few
that looks like
me in my class.
It definitely is something that it was so jarring because I had never seen anything like that before. And yet it's part of why I describe that time as an adventure, because it was like being plucked from book to book. And now I'm in this story and to see all the classrooms, right? Like it was not just that one classroom. 90% of the teachers there, if memory serves. Now, granted, that was many, many years ago. But from my perspective as, a 7-year-old, everyone looked like me, and the instructors were tough and firm and loving and respectful of my differences. Because like you, I spoke with a little bit of an accent and I didn't entirely fit in. And so the teachers really embraced me and helped me to try to develop a little bit more confidence, to make friends, because that is really one of the most challenging things for a military child. Is at times even reluctant to get close to people because, and particularly for me, like I knew I was going to be gone soon. So there really was no point to any of it. I probably came off as quite aloof and I don't know, maybe even arrogant. And it wasn't that I didn't care, but I just knew I wasn't going to be there. For me, it would have been so sad to leave people that I cared about. And at that point in my life, I knew that that was inevitable. The teachers really helped me to navigate that, and they helped to pull me in. And there are people that I know today that I met way back in second grade that I was able to catch up with when I was in high school, which was quite the treat.
When you talk about the arrogant or the aloofness of being the military child, even at that age, I always talked about it as like almost like a little mini wall that we put up because we know we aren't going to be where we're at forever. We're going to have to move on. And so I feel like it's almost like this little wall that we have, maybe not every military child, I should say that, but I remember being somewhat similar and mm-hmm. Because then that makes it easier.
Safer that way, right?
Yes. And then you don't get your feelings hurt. And then you're protecting the sadness that you might feel. So you just kind of put a little wall up. So I'd love to know if you think being raised in the military community has had an impact on who you are today.
Wholly and completely. It impacts every part of my being because I try to approach life and just things in general with an open mind. Because I was forced to do that at such a young age and forced in a good way, right? Like not like it was me being combative or anything. It was just different and it was learning. And I so appreciate that and am grateful for those experiences because now as I move through life, it makes it a little bit easier to really try to understand things from multiple perspectives. And it also, I think, gives me the ability to engage with and communicate with people that might not be interested in even having a conversation with me. And I say that because in today's environment, particularly in the U.S., things can be pretty political and polarizing and people are all in their separate corners. And I'm just like, I'm going to whatever corner you're in, right? Like there's no corner. I make the corners, right? And I'm very comfortable in all of these types of environments. And so I'm just as comfortable with older people or younger people or, people from any part of the country or the world for that. And I don't know that I would have that level of comfort were it not for being, kind of placed repeatedly in unknown places, across the world. And so it absolutely helps to inform my work today. And definitely, if you look at my friend circle, it looks like all the places that I live.
Absolutely. And I think a level of adaptability, that's what I I call it, when you're a military child, you learn to maneuver in so many spaces because you've been so many places and had the opportunity to experience different countries and cultures and foods and people. And I think it just makes for a very unique individual. I always laugh. I feel like when people come to our home, they're like, wow, there is a lot happening in here with the decor, because, you know, it's really a reflection of everywhere that we've lived, right? And so there's some Southeast Asian things happening, and there's some German things happening, and it's just a really nice reflection of who we are, where we've lived. I think that's great. And it's obvious that you have had such an amazing life that there's no question that being part of the military community hasn't had an impact on you. Recently, I read an article from last year that featured you as an unstoppable woman. Fantastic. I think I can put a link in our show notes for our listeners to go and read, because I think it was really nicely done. I would love to know what drives you to do the work that you do.
So the benefit that I have today is I get to pick where I live. No one tells me where to go or what to do. And I think what drives me is the culmination of all of those experiences and seeing how people were so willing to give of themselves to help support me or my family in every stage that we found ourselves. The least I can do to say thank you is then to serve others. And so I have been so fortunate to be able to be in a position to lead an organization where we are all about serving others. And I think it started for me probably when I got my first like real job here in Fort Worth. And there was this organization called United Way that our company was involved with. And I wasn't familiar with them, but our CEO was heavily involved and brought that into the organization. And that was already part of the culture. And that's when I started to learn about organizations like this that are doing things in support of others. I went through a course at United Way, which essentially was teaching you about nonprofits and nonprofit governance, and then connecting you with agencies within the community that you might consider serving on the board or committee or something like that. So I got matched with this one organization that I just fell in love with, and I started serving on their board. And I maxed out, and then they had a foundation. So I served on their foundation board, and then I maxed out my time there. And through that process and that experience, it really demonstrated to me how giving my time could benefit an organization, but also that my professional expertise was of benefit to the organization as well. And so that was kind of my first taste of it. And from there, I was just like, okay, it's on now. Let me roll my sleeves up. I'm all in, and started just serving on a number of boards. Never in a million years that I think I would work for, let alone lead United Way, especially the one that I started volunteering with 25 years ago. But what a great full circle opportunity to now be able to live literally the dream and to witness impact on individuals and families on a daily basis. It is a blessing. It is a unique experience. And I think it's the perfect cherry on top to growing up with a family that lived all about service.
And to think it all started with volunteering. And so I wanted to talk, you know, this is one of our series of podcasts that we're going to be doing for Women's History Month. And we wanted to talk a little bit about women in leadership positions. You are the woman in the most senior position within your organization, and wondering if you faced challenges in your career because of this, and maybe if so, how you navigated those challenges.
Let me tell you a bit, and this will be another show for another day, but I'm so accustomed to being the only woman, mainly because even when I went to high school, I went to a public high school in Philadelphia, but it was an all-boys school up until the year that I went there. So I've been very comfortable in spaces that I'm not supposed to be, quote unquote. That's cool with me. I actually thrive in those areas. I won't say I like to make people uncomfortable, but I like to make them think. and challenge themselves and what their own beliefs are. And I think also that comes from the time in the military, because one of the things that you quickly learn is to stop judging people, because we are all together. We're all Americans. And especially when you live overseas, running into another American, you do not care what state they're from. You do not care what religion. Oh my goodness. So for that very reason, I'm so comfortable in environments where no one else looks like me. There might not be any other women. I don't care. I am supposed to be there. I'm there with a voice and for a purpose. And I'm often there representing a population that is not able to be at the table to speak. And it is my responsibility, my charge to be that voice. And I won't say that I always had that. I definitely had to grow and learn and practice speaking up and being comfortable with my voice and being confident in my voice. But I could not allow any preconceived fear or expectation about me disrupt what it is that I'm there to do or what I'm there to say. And so I'm only the second woman to lead this United Way. It's 100 years old, and I've been CEO here for 4 years. And I don't recall, I think the prior CEO, who is a very dear friend of mine, I think she served here for maybe 10 years. So, you know, for 80 of the 100 years, it's been all men. And I think that we're doing a pretty darn good job. And I have a diverse team of primarily women, but I do have a gentleman that serves on my immediate team. You know, we're always looking for the best talent, but I think women feel very comfortable applying here to work with and alongside another female. So it's been great. It's something that could be uncomfortable for others if they hadn't had some of those experiences. And you said the word adaptability. 100%, you get that in spades. You have no choice but to become adaptable. And because of that, you learn how to navigate in certain spaces. And because if you don't, you will be completely swallowed whole. That's not something that's going to benefit the people that we're here to serve.
Well, that is completely impressive. I love that you make yourself comfortable in those spaces, or I should say, bring your own seat to the table in those spaces. And so, you know, I think that's really important. And I think for women, especially young women, seeing ourselves in different places is so important in certain levels in leadership. I think that is so important. I mean, I can't even begin to talk about why I think it's important. And, you know, so that we know that we can be there as well and be successful. And it's funny, many years ago, I read a book by Sheryl Sandberg, and it's the Lean In book, which was, you know, a huge hit. And I remember just thinking, wow, you know, the ability for women to work, to, you know, have a family, if they so choose, to be in senior leadership positions and being able to kind of do all of those things, and that we can, right?
That's right.
And so I really like that you said that, and that you have at least, you know, there's some male representation there.
Exactly. You know, all voices are welcome and needed to get the best product, right? Like, you got to have everybody at the table to get the very best. So
everybody's, you know, your life, honestly, it's just been so impressive for me to speak with you about and just kind of read about. And the first thing that came to mind was servant leadership. And for me, this is just me, it seems to be at the core of who you are. And it shows up in your personal and your professional endeavors, just kind of from what I've found. Do you have any advice for someone that aspires to be where you are?
My advice is, get involved and get engaged. I didn't know what I liked, because I thought I liked everything because I was exposed to everything and I was everywhere. And so, you know, again, upside and downside of military life and moving around and those kinds of things. But it's not a bad thing but it allowed me through volunteerism and serving on different boards, it got me connected to different people that I would not have had the opportunity to meet most likely in my professional day to day. And it got me more connected to some of the challenges that were happening within the community and really informed me on things that I needed to know about as a citizen and things that I might need to speak up about and use my voice. And so I would highly encourage anyone that's looking to engage in the community is definitely look for opportunities to volunteer. That might be just for an event if you don't have time to do it repeatedly, or it might be serving on the board, or it might be being a big brother or big sister, being a mentor to someone. There's so many different ways. One of the things that a lot of times I feel like people forget about, direct civic engagements. Your local city will have boards and commissions. And so maybe there's a health commission or an arts commission or something that speaks to you and the things that you like as a person that you can then bring your professional expertise to work and support on behalf of the greater community. And so those types of things, I never would dream it would have turned into a job. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to make the place that I chose to live better. And I keep being rewarded because of it unexpectedly, and it's not necessary. And when I say rewarded, I mean with incredible relationships, with deep friendships, with influence and knowledge of things that are not necessarily spoken about, but that need to be and that deserve to be uplifted. And then that gives that sense of responsibility to go back and share it. It is not hard to get involved or get engaged. If people listening to this are in the Tarrant County area, they absolutely need to get engaged with us. Always going to put a plug in for us. But, you know, get involved in the city where you live and find a way to involve with something that fulfills you, because then it's a gift that just literally keeps on giving.
I love that you talked about the place that you chose to live and making it better. And that really was your purpose and where you began. And I think that really speaks leaps and bounds for those that are aspiring to be where you are and finding something you're interested in and that you can really invest the time into. I think that's all that needs to be said. And then hopefully, as you said, you know, you've been unexpectedly rewarded, you know, things just, you know, doors open and right. Opportunities have presented themselves to be where you are. Needless to say, I'm just impressed. I mean, you know, dedication, yeah. And it sounds like your passion for what you do is amazing as well. So if you were thinking about your childhood self, what would you tell them about where life would take you? Like, would you look back and think, I always say, like, I thought I would be some senior vice president of a Fortune 100 company, and I'm not, and that's okay. But do you have something similar?
I thought I would have something to do in the medical industry. And I even pursued that for a little while and worked in the hospital. But luckily, I was young enough when I was working in the hospital to realize like that wasn't the life for me. And one of the things that I learned later was what I did like. And what I realized is I liked people and being around people and talking to people. And that's what was unclear. And so I would tell myself, you know, be patient, try it all. It's all going to work out just as it's supposed to. So don't sweat it and enjoy the ride.
I love that. It all works out, right? Even when
it does.
Not going to. I think that's a great kind of message to tell yourself. So for our young military connected girls, our young ladies, do you have a message for them as they navigate challenges and opportunities that may face them?
Yeah, you know, the thing that's really great today is it's so much easier to stay connected to people with whom you connect. When I was a child, of course, there was no social media. Like I said, we didn't have a phone. So we had letters, but we were kind of at the will of our parents getting us postage and moving. And did I lose the address and blah, 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 blah. So be very intentional about cultivating those relationships. One of the things when I first came back to the States that I was always a little envious of is to hear people say, oh, we've been best friends since kindergarten. And I would just like roll my eyes like, I've been best friends with my shoelace or something, you know? I have no concept of that. So my advice would be to really be intentional about your relationships, because you have such an easier opportunity to do that. And I would also say, really try to see the adventure in the lifestyle, because it is unique and it is special, and it's something that will serve you for the rest of your life, and you'll pull things and you'll have memories that make you cry and make you laugh and make you feel whole. And so just know it all does turn out okay, but just embrace that, embrace the adventure.
I would absolutely agree, and almost got a little teary-eyed when you were saying that about embracing the adventure. That would be my one piece of advice to anyone as well, whether you're a military child, military spouse, whatever it may be, to, you know, enjoy that time that you have, because it is incredible. The military community is incredible. The friendships, the relationships that you build and make are ones that last a lifetime, quite frankly. I think that's a great piece of advice. So since you are what I would believe a true servant leader, and you are part of such an amazing organization, the United Way, which I should say, by the way, my first job out of college, out of undergrad, United Way was our, that was like what we volunteered and did.
Yeah, great.
I worked for it at the time. So we used to do a lot with United Way. That was, I mean, gosh, that was probably 25 years ago. So it was a really long time ago. But I would love to know, if you had one wish to change the world for the better, what it would be.
I would wish that everything that our moms and dads, aunts and uncles, or whoever serves in the military, that all they ever had to do was drill and never implement what they're drilling. That would be my wish.
I think that is a great wish to have. Well, I have enjoyed so much talking with you. You have led such an impressive life, and I think your service, your dedication for what you do is just really, honestly, very incredible. And the fact that you started out as a military child just makes it all the better. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us. It's been really awesome.
Thank you, Nikki. You have made us incredibly enjoyable, and especially being able to speak to someone that knows the life. You know that life, right? It's so unique, and it's so rare that I get to speak with someone that understands completely what it was like. And so I've thoroughly enjoyed my time and just grateful to have the opportunity to share a little bit with you today.
I'd like to thank Leah for her time today, as I've really enjoyed our conversation. And what an amazing journey she's had through her life, and an incredible inspiration for all of us. Thanks for listening to the MSEC podcast, the official podcast of the Military Child Education Coalition. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe, and give today's show a 5-star rating. And don't forget to leave us a comment on topics you'd like to hear more about. We'd like to give a special thanks again to the Air Force Officer Spouses Club of Washington, D.C. for supporting this episode, and Consensus Media for audio mixing. I'm Nikki Harrison, and until next time, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.